I want to say welcome again to Level 13 Church. I want to say a special welcome to those who are joining us online this morning. My name's Heath, the pastor here, and we're going to kick off a brand new series this morning called Fences. Now, this series, we're going to dive in pretty deep into the life and the teachings of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, specifically how he didn't measure up to cultural expectations of his day, how he didn't fit the social norms of the day in which he lived. And we're specifically going to look at how Jesus loved. And what's interesting about this is that Jesus' love can be characterized by being a little bit messy, a little bit full of tension. When we look at how Jesus loved, it's a little inconsistent. Sometimes it seems a little unfair. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense in certain instances. It's confusing. That's where we're going to try to dive in over the next few weeks, exactly how Jesus lived his life and how he loved people and what he calls us to do about it in the world that we live in today. So right out of the gate, we have to answer a question. What does the love of Jesus have to do with a fence? They don't seem to make a connection there. So let's just talk through that for just a second. A fence, from just a practical standpoint, it's created as a boundary system. It's created to serve as a separation. It gives us a sense of understanding, like, I can go this far, and that's as far as I can go. This is where the boundary of my property lies, and that's my parameter. We could say it like this. Fences are designed to keep us on one side and from another. A fence is designed, just in its basic form, to keep us on one side and to keep us from another side. But when we dig past the surface, we look a little bit deeper. There's more to the story behind a fence, especially when it comes into relationships. Fences in relationships, fences in social interactions, serve as a divider. They separate us. Let's think about the world that we live in today. Any day of the week, we can flip on social media and we can find the hot topic of the day. What are we angry about? What are we outraged about today? What are we debating today? And what we're going to discover is there's this almost knee-jerk reaction for us to take one side of the fence or the other, right? We want to choose a side. There's just something natural about that. There's just something inside of us that says, I want to line up on this side of the fence, and other people are on this side of the fence. And you know, there's a lot that goes into why we do that. Some of that has to do with just our natural personalities, which side of the fence we take. It has to do with maybe where we were raised, the kind of church that we went to or we didn't go to, our relationships with people, our friendships, our experiences. All those different things go into this decision to choose a side. But we want to know that the side that we've chosen is the right side. That it's the side that if Jesus were walking the earth today, it's the side that he would choose. And man, don't we get passionate about that. When we think that we've got the right answer, when we think we're on the right side of the fence, we're convinced, we're committed, we're passionate. Man, this is where Jesus would line up, and everybody else, just, Lord, speak to them and let them know how wrong they are so they can come and get on my side of the fence. Because this is obviously where Jesus is at, right? In any topic of conversation, any hot button issue that we want to take a look at in the world that we're in today, we can find intelligent, educated, passionate, confident, committed people who love Jesus on both sides of the fence. How's that possible? If we love Jesus, shouldn't we all be on the same side of the fence? I mean, wouldn't it be so much easier if Jesus just said, hey, just for the record, this is the side of the fence that I'm on, and everybody else, you're wrong, and so everyone needs to come on this side of the fence because that's where I'm. If Jesus would do that, man, that would make life so much simpler. Well, the good news for us this morning is that Jesus actually lets us know where he lands Not just one issue, but on every issue that he faced when he walked on the planet. And I would go as far as to say every issue that we face as we walk on the planet today. The troubling part of that is that for many of us, if not for all of us, where Jesus lands, man, it's uncomfortable. It's something that we're not really ready to hang on to and hold on to. Because here's the reality that we're going to try to wrestle to the ground this morning and over the next 3 weeks as well. Jesus never chose one side over another. He chose a third option. And in order to discover what that third option is, we're going to take a look at a letter, a document that was written by one of his best friends, a guy by the name of John. John was one of the 12 disciples, but he was more than that. He actually referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loves. I mean, this guy knew who he was in Christ. He said, I'm the one that Jesus loves. And he was not just a part of the 12. He was one of Jesus' three closest friends, Peter, James, and John. Jesus did more stuff with them, shared insights and information with them that the others didn't get a chance to experience until after the fact. And so John documented the things that Jesus did and the things that he said, the life that he lived. And eventually that document was added with other documents and made into our New Testament, what we call the New Testament in our English Bibles. And so we're going to look in the fourth book of our New Testament, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we're going to land and discover what it is that Jesus chose, that third option. So if you've got a Bible, or you have an app on your phone, I want to encourage you to open to John chapter 1. If you didn't bring either one of those, we'll have it on the screen for you in just a moment as well. We're going to start, I'm just going to kind of give a breakdown from verses 1 through 13, and then we'll actually launch into verse 14. That's where we're going to start this morning. But John opens his letter, and this is just brilliantly cool. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He says, Jesus is the Word. He goes on throughout this. He explains Jesus as this artist, this painter, or this sculptor who created this world, created this beautiful piece of art. And then he put himself inside the art and said, the art piece, the creation, didn't receive him, didn't expect him, didn't recognize him as the creator. And he goes on and we get to verse 14. And John tells us this information. He says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." He made his dwelling among us. "We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. Then verses 16 and 17, he continues and says, "Out of his fullness, out of his overflowingness, out of filled to the brim with grace and truth, we have received grace in place of grace already given." He's just essentially saying grace upon grace upon grace has been poured into our lives out of the abundance of this fullness that Jesus experienced. Then verse 17, we'll just read right past that real quick if we're not careful. If we don't take a moment and just stop there and look at really what John's trying to say. He says, "For the law was given through Moses, the Ten Commandments and the 600 other things that were included, all the thou shalt nots and thou shalt, and if thou doest, then thou is wrongeth," and all those kind of things, all that kind of stuff, that's here. That was given through Moses. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Jesus is the embodiment of grace and truth. He is filled to the brim, overflowing with grace and with truth. And when we read that statement, we hear that spoken, that feels really awkward because we want it to be one or the other. We want it to be one side of the fence or the other. We want Jesus to be full of grace when he's dealing with me. But we want him to be full of truth when he's dealing with somebody else. They need to hear the truth, but I need grace. They need the truth, but I need your grace, Lord. We want it to be one or the other because there's a tension there. And we're not comfortable with tension between grace and truth. It's a sticky place. It's an uncomfortable place. It almost seems like, Jesus, why don't you just pick a side? Come on, man, let's do this. Pick a side. But Jesus is comfortable in the tension. He actually embraces it. See, here's what I believe to be true. Jesus' life was characterized by a tension between the two sides of the fence because of his great love, his commitment to love. Jesus was comfortable in the tension because he was so committed to love. In fact, if we read later in John's letter, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we discover that a new commandment I give you, Jesus is speaking here, is to love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this example, by this qualifiable characteristic, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you have love one for another. And he doesn't just say love like, hey man, I love you too, yeah, all good. Just one of those things that we say. He says, no, you love one another the way that I've loved you. And the way Jesus loved, man, that was messy. Because it almost seems as if moments, Jesus, he called out sin. And then in other moments, he gave a blind eye to sin. It seems in some instances, Jesus holds people accountable. And then in other instances, he doesn't say a word. In some moments, it seems like Jesus is harsh. And in other moments, he's incredibly kind. We just want him to pick. Come on, Jesus, which side of the fence are you on? You know, we just have this desire inside of us to try to remedy that tension. That's just a natural thing in us. We want to fix the tension. And maybe some of us grew up in churches or grew up in homes that wanted to fix the tension too. Maybe for some of us, we landed on the grace side of the fence. And in this particular church or this particular home, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, this forgiveness of God superseded everything else. There was no need for accountability because Jesus is always going to accept me just as I am. There was no need for growth as a follower of Jesus because man, he loves me. He's just going to accept me the way that I am. It's okay. It's all cool. I can live how I want to live. Grace was the predominant ideology and theology of that particular side of the fence. And then maybe some of us, we grew up in a church, or we grew up in a home that the pendulum swung in the complete opposite direction, and we found ourselves on the truth side of the fence where you're accountable. Where there's commandments, where there's strict rules, and you have to do it just like this, and if you don't, man, it's like sinners in the hands of an angry God kind of stuff, and he's waiting to just pounce on you. There's no grace. There's no mercy. There's no gray area. Everything's black or white. Everything's right or wrong. Everything's yes or no. And so we have this tension. We have the side of grace. And then we have the side of truth, and we've got this fence in the middle, and we don't know how to bridge the gap, but there's a tension there. What do we do in the tension? What do we do between grace and truth? What did Jesus do? He was comfortable there. And he was comfortable there because it was in that tension that he fulfilled what John wrote about him in John chapter 1, verse 14. I want to go back to that again. John chapter 1, verse 14, he said this, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth." In that tension between the two sides of the fence, between grace and truth, Jesus lived. He made his home in that tension. He wasn't running from it. He wasn't trying to push it away. He wasn't awkward about it. He lived there. What we need to understand this morning is Jesus is not the balance between grace and truth. He is the fullness of grace and truth. And there's a difference. See, if there's balance, we can never know where Jesus lands. because every situation is subjective. Every situation is going to be different, because if somebody comes in with a little bit too much grace, then Jesus has to line up on the side of truth to balance it out. Or if somebody comes in with a little too much truth, then Jesus has to come in on the side of grace to balance it out. He isn't the balance between the two. He is the fullness of both. He is not either or. He is both and. We could say it like this. Jesus doesn't choose one side over another. He chooses to be a gate connecting the two sides. He doesn't choose one side over another. He decides instead, I'm going to be a gate that's going to connect grace and truth. Now, a neighborhood that I used to live in, I had two neighbors who put some flesh and bones on this without even really knowing it. I had one neighbor who lived kind of diagonal to me, and she was all about her privacy. She didn't want anybody in her yard. She didn't want anyone near her home. And there was this family that lived right next door to her, immediately to her right, who had two children. And I'm not going to go as far as to say she hated the kids, but she really disliked them a lot. And it was pretty evident. She installed a privacy fence, which, you know, it's no big deal. Lots of people put privacy fences in. But this was not your typical privacy fence. This was two times the normal height. And it didn't just stop in the backyard like a normal privacy fence. She ran it from the backyard all the way to the end of the driveway on one side of her home. Would you care to guess which side of the home she put that on? She let the entire neighborhood, and more specifically this family that lived right next door, she let them know, hey, I don't care anything about you. I don't care anything about your side of the fence. I'm on my side of the fence. This is the right side. And I don't care what happens on that side, and never the two should meet. But then I had a neighbor who lived immediately across the street from me, who shared a chain link fence with the home right behind them. And yeah, it wasn't a privacy fence, but a fence is there as a boundary. It's there to keep separation. Remember, it keeps us on one side and from another. But my neighbors across the street, they weren't content to let that chain link fence separate. And so they decided to get in touch with this family that was living behind them. And they worked together. And they cut out a piece of this chain link fence and they installed a gate, so that both sides of the fence were accessible. So that both families could experience life from the other side of the fence. And what happened is these two families became so close. They spent holidays together. They had birthday parties. You know, it was just a random Thursday and they're hanging out, having dinner together at one another's home. They would grill out in the backyards and it was an easy walk between the two. Both of these families ended up leaving the neighborhood, but the friendship never stopped. They're still connected. And it was as simple as installing a gate that was meant to separate, a gate that was meant to keep them apart. But they weren't content to let that happen. They said, no, community is more important. I don't want to just see life from my side of the fence. I want to see what's like from over there. Jesus didn't choose one side of the fence over the other. He chose a third option. He chose instead to be a gate between the two. And what we see is that his gate between the two was fulfilled on the cross. It was there that he showed the fullness of truth and the fullness of grace. This week, as I was studying and preparing, I ran across another quote by Andy Stanley. I quoted him last week. I'm going to quote him again this week. Maybe I won't quote him next week. I don't know. He's just a brilliant guy. So he's got a lot of good insight. But here's what he said. He said, if we want to see what Jesus meant when he said, love one another, watch how he loved. He called sin, sin. And then he paid for it. And having paid for it, he said, I don't condemn you. And after calling sin, sin, paying for it, and making the proclamation that I don't condemn you, he makes the statement, leave your life of sin. He didn't choose one side over the other. He didn't try to balance the two. He was the fullness of both. Out of my great love for you, out of my great love for you, I'm fully grace, fully truth. And as followers of Jesus, he calls us to do the same. He says, go and do likewise. Don't plant your flag on one side of the fence and saying, this is the right side. This is where I'm going to land. This is where I'm going to end up. This is what's going to take place in my life, in my world, and everybody else is wrong. If they want to get on the right side of the fence, then we can talk. Don't plant your flag. But instead, become a gate to connect the two. See things from a different perspective. See things from the other side of the fence. Love like Jesus loved. Live like Jesus lived. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to dive in and we're going to look at some specific examples of how Jesus navigated the tension between truth and grace. But before next week comes, here's what I want to ask us to think about, to consider this morning. Consider, have we been so committed to our side of the fence? Have we been so committed that we're right and they're wrong that we've pushed people away? Not only from us, but ultimately from Jesus. How different would our world look? How different would our homes look if we were willing, instead of taking a hard stand? Man, it's truth or nothing. No, it's team grace. What if instead it was like, no, it's both. Let's have a hard conversation. Let's walk through this awkward, tension-filled moment together so that we can see and live and be all that Jesus wants us to see and live and be. How different would our world look if instead of trying to remedy the tension, like Jesus, we embraced it? And instead of choosing a side, we chose to be a gate. Let me pray for us. Jesus, this is a difficult thing to wrap our heads around. God, it's difficult to own and understand. We're just so naturally bent towards wanting to choose a side. Father, would you help us to recognize that you're not calling us to choose a side. You're calling us to follow your example and to be a gate. Lord, would you search our hearts? God, search my heart. Start with me. God, where have I been so proud, so committed to I'm right and they're wrong, that I haven't pursued community, that I haven't pursued relationship, that I haven't lived out what Jesus has called us to live out? God, would you reveal that to me? Reveal that to us as a church. God, reveal that to us as individuals so that we can move forward and we can do the things that you've called us to do and we can love the way that you've called us to love. Why? Because it isn't about being on one side of the fence or the other. It's about becoming a gate between the two. We pray this in Jesus' name.